letting go of the past. Let's read together in Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Let's read it together. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gathering of your people. Lord, we can only make one conclusion. God, you have been active in the lives of your people. But oftentimes, Father, we have a tendency to forget that in our everyday life, when we wake up in the morning, Lord, you are there. When we are brushing our teeth, you are there. When you are walking to the MRT station, you are there. You are protecting our every step. Lord, when we go to work, when we go to school, you are there. When we are sick, you are there. And God, that in every time that every time that we cry to you, Father, you are there. Because you are closer than the mention of your name. Lord, you dwell in our hearts. Lord, we can only know that you are here today with us too. Having here, Father, heard the testimonies of changed lives, of blessings to the people, of answered prayer. Oh God, we can only give you the praise because only you deserve all praise. You who dwell in the heaven of heavens, you who have seen fit to come down on earth, to be a man like us, yet filled with the godliness within, died on the cross for our sins. God, you rose again the 3rd day to prove to us there's nothing, Lord, impossible for you. Father, I pray for one person here, Lord, who needs something in his or her life. That God, this message that you have laid on my heart, God, may feed the soul. Oh God, we have physical food today. God, we have fun food, social food today. Oh, we have worship food today. God, we need food for our soul tonight. Lord, I pray for one person who may be carrying a burden that they cannot lift. Lord, I pray that tonight your Holy Spirit will speak to that person. God, perhaps another person, when he goes into 2012, will have to meet new challenges in life. God, I pray that you will give them additional strength to meet that challenge through this message. Father, I pray for one who may be going through a crisis that no one knows. But God in heaven, you see all things. And we pray that tonight you will provide the necessary strength for them to carry on. Because we need to learn to leave the past behind, Lord. And we pray tonight you give us that strength. And God, I pray for one who may be resisting you for a long time. God, tonight, break that heart. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask that you will do your will tonight. We thank you for what you're going to do. For those who are sick, Lord, I remember Ruth, Rachahing's family, who can't be with us even though they wanted to. Thank you for their provision, Lord. That even though they're not here, Father, they provided a dish that we might enjoy. I pray for baby Ruth who has been sick for many days. God, I pray that you will raise her up by tomorrow. Because it is possible, Lord, thy word teaches that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. In James chapter 5. And I pray for that family. I pray also for some other brethren who is sick and can't make it today. But God, I pray that you bless them too. So Lord, I pray you open our hearts to your word. Speak to us in a special way. That God, when we leave this place, we know that you have spoken to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you read this statement in Joshua chapter 1 verse 10, you will find a commander ready to do battle. Okay, Joshua was ready. He says, pass through the host. The word pass through the host means the host, meaning the about 600,000 men ready to conquer the promised land. And after God had a conversation with Joshua, Joshua said, pass through the host. Alright guys, let's move through the whole group of them. Alright, command the people, tell the people, saying, prepare you victuals. The word victuals simply means prepare your food, prepare your rations. We are going into the promised land. Joshua seems a fully confident commander. He is ready with full confidence to go in to do what God has told him to do. Okay? But when you think, what did Joshua just went through? What did Joshua just went through? If you read Joshua chapter 1, you will realize that the Bible says in verse 1, now when Moses, the servant of the Lord, was dead, Joshua just went through 30 days of mourning. Mourning for someone whom he has looked upon as his mentor for the last 40 to 50 years. From the time of Egypt to the time of the 40 years of wandering, Joshua was following Moses all the time. Or Joshua was just a quiet minister doing everything that Moses was telling him to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 8, just a chapter before, you realize that the children of Israel wept for Moses 30 days. It is customary in Jewish culture when a person dies to at least mourn, mandatory, that means compulsory mourning for 7 days. But for Moses, perhaps he was a great man, they mourned for him 30 days. There wasn't any specific rituals for mourning given in the Old Testament, alright, during this time. But perhaps Moses was a great man, and so they mourned for him 30 days. There were certain mourning rites they would have to go through. For example, they're not supposed to laugh. They're not supposed to enjoy yourself. In fact, people will come, and if you have, there are certain things that you can do. If you're mourning, you go to you're allowed to go to a wedding, but you're not supposed to laugh. Well, that's hard. But that was a Jewish rituals that they had. So Joshua has just gone through. It's interesting that in the Bible, God oftentimes speak to people at key periods of time. Example, remember in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, God spoke to Isaiah. In critical periods of time, God intervenes to speak. As we move from 2011, I believe, to 2012, there are certain things that God wants to speak to us about. Some of us have been carrying things from 2010, 2011, and now as you go over to 2012, you continue to do that. Is it possible that God wants to speak to us tonight to let the past go? Joshua was on the threshold of a new dawn, a new direction, a new way of life and doing things. A new land, a promised land. But you know, deep in his heart, perhaps there was still mourning. You know how I know that? I was trying to find the scriptures. Lord, was Joshua, you know, in my mental thinking as I studying the passage, you realize that Moses, the mentor, was just died. And how is it that Joshua was able to say, come on guys, let's go forward. Come on guys, let's go forward. He just went through a period of mourning. For someone whom he deeply respected as his mentor. That someone perhaps have guided his life. Look at verse number 9. God had to tell him something. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Apparently, Joshua was undergoing 3 issues. The first issue, there was a loss of courage. God had to tell Joshua, hey, I want you to have good courage. It is not easy to lead 2 million people. Moses did it. But can I say this? Moses did it because God gave him the ability to do it. And now on the threshold, Moses, that great leader, is dead and Joshua is... Do you realize in Deuteronomy 31, God actually told Moses to anoint Joshua to be the next leader. Can you imagine? You were just a servant serving the great Moses. And all of a sudden, Moses is off the scene, and Moses say, sorry Joshua, this is a real Joshua staying here. His name is Joshua, by the way. So I'll use him, okay? Joshua, you're going to be in charge of 2 million people. And then, maybe if God tells me that, I say, God, I have a problem with 4 kids and 1 wife.
You want me to lead 2 million people?
Can you imagine that fear? Perhaps, at that time, there was no one else to depend on. The second thing was fear. Because God told him to fear not. There was fear. And you know what? Be not dismayed. The word dismayed means discouragement. One of the things that as a pastor I am very sensitive with is these 3 things in Christians. And you know what? You know what? Oftentimes I challenge you, because in order for us to move forward, we need to be challenged to look beyond our courage, loss of courage, look beyond our fear. But then in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11, you realize this was a different Joshua. He says, as it were, he left his past behind, the fear, whatever that he was going through in his mind. What did you go through this year? What are things that you yourselves are carrying up to now? And perhaps God is speaking to you. Paul says it this way, just listen. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What's the next part? Forgetting what lies, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Can I ask you, how's the best way? How was the best way to forget something? Is there any teachers? What's the best way? Not teachers. But anyway, what's the best way to forget something? Huh? Talk about it, right? What? Do something. Best way to, okay, do something else. Okay, I'll just read. This is very interesting. I was just reading this research. Our memory is interesting. Do you realize normal people never forget? We never forget. But Brother Johnny, that's not possible. What I mean is, it's somewhere in there. Okay? I'll just read this quote. It's very interesting. Of course, any direct attempt to try to forget something generally isn't going to work. If I told you right now not to think about a red balloon as big as a house. Okay? You're not supposed to think about a balloon. Alright? Are you ready? Okay, don't think about a balloon. What will happen? Immediately, it comes out in your mind. Right? You know why? And he said, I must try to forget this. I must try to forget this. Do you know why some of you are carrying things? Because you rehearse that in your mind again and again and again and again. That's the devil's trick to keep you where you are. I'm here to tell you that God has a way to help you to leave those things behind. You know how to leave those things behind? Move on. Move on, okay? Move on. Let me read this. The same is true when you tell yourself to stop thinking about something. What are you doing when you say don't think about X? You are bringing your attention to the very thing you want to forget. That's the problem sometimes with many Christians. You carry your burden simply because you rehearse and you rehearse and you rehearse. And every time you meet people, you rehearse and you rehearse. Why? Because you can't get it off. You know, you've fallen into the devil's trap. Our attention is limited. You can only focus on so many things at a time. The less you focus on something, the more it fades away in your mind. So the key to how to forget something is to place your attention somewhere else. And here, in your Christian life, it's time to move on, Christians. It's time to say, make a decision tonight. Whatever pain you are going through, tell yourself, and God help us, Lord, I am never going to mention that again. And in that place, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to give you four things from the book of Joshua. How was Joshua able to move forward? Come on, he just went through mourning. He just went through a hard time. And it could be that some of us, God just wants, hey, I don't want you to bring whatever you have brought, because I've got abundant life for you. Joshua was on the threshold of the promised land. He cannot go in. God, Moses is not around. Cannot do. God says, look, there's an abundant life for you. The only way to forget something is to place your attention somewhere else. How can we move on? How did Joshua move on? I'll give you a few points. Number one, Joshua was able to move on because he has God's promises. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. Verses 1 to 5. Okay, I'll go through. I'll read that, and I want you to hear what the Bible says. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, look at what God said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, going towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God says, Joshua, look, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go. God did not give Joshua time to rehearse his mourning. Does it make sense? 30 days of mourning, Joshua, that's it. I have no time to waste, Joshua. You need to start moving on. But you know what? From 1 to 5, you know what God says? God says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. That's a specific promise by God. In the context of what Joshua was going to do, the moment Joshua looks at the city of Jericho, God says, you're going to step there, that's going to belong to you. And God gave specific promise to Joshua. And he goes on. He says, verse 5, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Do you realize that was true in the life of Joshua? The Bible says in Joshua chapter 11, Joshua completed his conquest of Canaan. No one was able to stand. But Brother Johnny, you know, there was one city, right? The city of Ai that fell. It wasn't Joshua's fault. It was someone who had sinned in the camp. Remember Achan? Achan took of the Babylonish garment and a wedge of gold he was not supposed to take. And of course, God spoke to Joshua and said, that's due to that sin and then you can move on. You know, Joshua conquered everything. That was a specific promise of God at that time for Joshua. You know what? God has promises for every need. Amen? God has promises for every need. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. God not only has promises for every need, He has promises for every battle. Everything that you will go through in your life, God has a promise. 1 John 4 verse 4, greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. Do you have any battles today? God's greater than that. And God has promises for every hurt. Every hurt in your life. Because Jesus said, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Christians, can I challenge you for 2012? Don't live by what you think. Live by the promises of God. Live by the promises of God. If you try to figure it out, generally you will hit a dead end. You know why? We are only 3.5 kilograms up here. Our brain is only 3.5 kilograms. We can't sort out every problem. That's why we need the promises of God. Can I challenge you? Is there a problem in your life right now that you need a promise from God? Do you realize that God has answers to everything in life? Otherwise, He's not God. Amen? Do you believe that? Many believe that mentally, but in your heart, you keep rehearsing your pain. Let it go. You can move on because of God's promises. Number two, Joshua was able to move on because he has God's presence. In Joshua 1 verse 5, the Bible says, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Do you realize the power of that verse? The Bible says, God says to Joshua, just the same way I was with Moses, and you know what God did through Moses, God says to Joshua now, the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. And He says, I will not fail you. In other words, I will not get an F grade. And Joshua, you can prove me, I am going to get an A grade from you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. When Esther joined my youngest one, okay, there was one time, I don't know whether she can remember. This one, I give you an illustration of how we can move on because we have God's presence. When Esther Joy was, I think it was last year, year before, so she was about 5. Can you remember? There was one time it was dark. Those who came to our house, you know our house actually has this corridor that leads from the hall to our room. Okay? It was at night and so all the hall was dark. And so I asked her, just testing her, go and get something for Baba.
the one.
Go lah. It was dark there. I said, go.
Then Papa go with me.
You know what? When I held her hand and I walked with her, she had no problems. Hello? Are you afraid of the dark in your life? If you're a genuine Christian, if you have trusted the Lord, God's going to be with you. Do you realize God was with you? Even though you were like, this God, I'm scared. But you realize, Christians, see, if you live by what you think, you will shake in your pants. But if you remember what God says, I'm with you. He promises. How long will God be with us? How long will God be with us? Till the end of the world. And even after the end of the world, you are still with Him. Amen? Forever in heaven. You know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms? If God has saved us from death, can He not save us here? Do you think God who is so powerful, who saved us from eternal death, do you not think He can save us here? The promise is that as God was present with Moses, God's presence will also be with Joshua. God promised, I will not fail you. Joshua, every time you listen carefully, Joshua, every time you need me, I will be there. Amen? Do you believe that, Christians? Maybe some of us have not trusted that this year. Don't take this into the new year. Do you believe that? When you need God, God will not fail you. Number two, part of this point number two. The promise is that God says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Do you know what's the meaning of forsake? That means God says, in the deepest of your despair, when you are going through the hardest point of your life, Christian, my child, I will not walk out of your life. That's the meaning of the word forsake. Many of you have realized that promise. That when you go through the most difficult period of times of your life, when you bow and pray, God, I need you, God always comes through. Amen? Always comes through. But I say, Brother Johnny, you know, I'm still in the situation I'm in. Well, maybe you've got to learn to trust God and not rehearse anymore. And say, God, if that is your word. It's kind of like, you know, this pill perhaps that can help me in my ailment, but you know, I know it can help. You know, it's just like, and you have for 15 years and that medicine is just here. If you just take it, you'll be better. You know how many Christians go through life when the medicine is just here? Do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ can change your life? Amen? You don't believe that? You know what? Thank God for many people whose lives are changed. Right here in Ambassador Baptist Church. Testimonies of how people were like that, but when they trusted Christ, there was a big turning point and they followed Christ. Christians, do you believe God will never forsake you? Joshua was able to move on because of God's presence. I'd like to give you a very interesting thought on this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy 31. I'll have this section, alright? This section. Deuteronomy 31. Are you ready? Verse 5. Okay, this section, huh? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 5. Well, it's a bit hard, I suppose. We'll all turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 5. I'll just read through it, just follow along, right? I couldn't quite do it because there were three specific verses. But in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 5, I'll just read, and the Lord shall give them up before your face, and ye shall do unto them according to all I have commandments which I have commanded you. Here Moses tells Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto thy fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. This was first said here, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Then it was repeated in Joshua chapter 1 by none other than God Himself to Joshua. I will not forsake you. When is the next time it is spoken again? In your Bible knowledge? When is the next time it is spoken again? Come on. In your Bible knowledge. Huh? Okay? Okay, I will be... Okay. Specifically the word forsake. Hebrews chapter 13. Remember? I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. A principle of the Bible. When it's mentioned in the Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament, God wants that promise for all eternity, for everyone. Does that make sense? What an encouragement that together as New Testament Christians, the same promise God gave to Joshua is for us. In your deepest of your despair, I will not fail you, I will not forsake you. We can move on. Point number 3. Joshua can move on because he knows he serves a powerful God. Because if you look in the verse in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 6. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6. After God actually tells him, be strong and of good courage. Now the question I ask myself when I ask him, God was asking him to be strong and of a good courage. How is Joshua going to be strong and of good courage unless he knows the character of the person who tells him to be strong and of good courage? Because the promises of God is based on God's character. Are you listening? The promises of God are based on His character. Joshua saw God gave 10 plagues to the nation of Egypt. Every plague, for your information, was against an Egyptian god. God wanted to show the Egyptians that He was more powerful than their gods. The Nile god, for example. Remember, God changed the water to blood? The river, an entire river Nile and all the waters and streams in Egypt was covered with blood. Why? Because God said, I'm more powerful than river Nile. And then, of course, the god of the underworld, when He defeated the god of death, when the firstborn of Egypt died. God was telling, and Joshua saw that. Joshua was beside Moses when all the people said, Moses, you bring us here to die. They were at the brink of the Red Sea, two mountains at the side, Egyptian pharaohs and the chariots behind. They were trapped in. Moses, you are the one who has... Were there no graves in Egypt, Moses? You have brought us to the wilderness to die? Joshua was beside Moses when Moses lifted up his staff, touched the Red Sea, and the Red Sea opened. 24 kilometers of sea open before Joshua's eyes. 24 kilometers. That's half, more than half the marathon. And Joshua was able to walk through that 24 kilometers, 18 to 24. If you do the geographical calculations today, if you study it, you will find that when they walk through the dry land, possible in half, possible in the night, 18 to 24 kilometers, the entire nation of Israel walked through. Joshua was there. Joshua was there when he saw God fed the children in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. God provided manna and quail. He saw God provide water for the 2 million people every day for 40 years. Joshua saw that his shoes, the Bible says, did not wax old. You buy one pair of shoes, over 1 or 2 years you got to buy. 40 years in the dry desert land, they were able to sustain. I like the kind of shoes. I don't spend too much shoes. You know, at home I got to fix shoes all the time for my children. After youth camp and all that kind of thing, the shoes are kind. Papa, can you fix my shoe for me? Esther Joy has this knack of always, you know, the sole of the feet always separating from the shoe. And I always get to fix that part. And my home had a lot. You know, those just yellow glue for shoes. And you know what? I wish I was there. Wow, I wish I wasn't there in the wilderness. But you know what? God provided the pair of shoes for every Israelite for 40 years and it didn't wear out. Their clothing didn't wear out. Because God, Joshua saw all that. And when Joshua heard God say, you be strong and of a good courage, Joshua said, yes, Lord. Because I have seen what you can do. Do you see what God is doing in your friend's life? Do you see how God is performing miracles everywhere around you? Or He may not be raising people from the dead, but He's changing lives. Amen? I can tell you the changed life is an absolute, the most wondrous miracle that can ever happen. It's a miracle of the salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You know, some of us can't move on because we really don't believe God as a Christian. We are unbelieving believers. Is it possible to be a believer who don't believe? Do you realize it's possible? The Bible says in the book of Matthew that Jesus did not do many mighty works in Capernaum because of unbelief. And can I say this? In modern day Christianity, God is not able to do many miraculous things because we do not believe His word. But can I say this? God is in the business of convincing you that He can do it. Just now Auntie Janet shared how God changed His son's life. You know, we have this place because of God's mercy. We have that van out there, $41,800. We only had less than 10 members. God raised it within 6 weeks. We had a place, $1.13 million. We are not able to get that. God gave it to us. You tell me it's not possible. As a result of people fasting and praying. There were many people fasting. As a result, we had 23 to 55% growth in our church this year. You tell me God cannot do it. You can never convince me. Because He created heavens and earth. And if He can do that, He can change my life. He can change yours too. Christians, do you believe that? Some of you are kept by your habits. You must break them. You can't break them because you do not believe in God. But you know what? Joshua says, God, I can move on. Because when You command me to be strong and of good courage, God, I've seen You open the Red Sea. I know You can do it. I'm not giving a motivational talk. I'm asking you to trust Jesus with all your heart. If you have never done that before, you say, Brother Johnny, I've tried that before. It doesn't work. Well, can I say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. If He could create the heavens and the earth, and if He could save Apostle Paul, He could change your life. I say this with all my heart. There are Christians here that need to give themselves just to God. Say, Brother Johnny, I'm just trapped in this. I cannot get out. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He can. He can. God wants us to move on because we serve a powerful God. Point number four. Joshua can move on because he has God's strategy for success. Look at verse number 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I believe the number one reason why many Christians have not success in their life, because they do not continue in the word. But God says, Joshua, you move on. But my strategy for you to conquer the land of Canaan, you stay in my book. You do what is right. You do not... Three things God told Joshua to do. Number one, you are to regularly discuss the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. The devil is very smart with Singaporeans. Do you realize? It makes you absolutely distracted. Very distracted with a lot of programs. You know what? You need to just fix your program and say, God, I am going to listen to your word. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to be a place where the word of God is preached. You know, God provides the word on a regular basis. But Christians, we don't move on because we don't listen to God's strategy. Number one, we've got to discuss it regularly. And then, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We have to obey it wholeheartedly. Some Christians don't do that. Christians, in 2012, will you make a change? If God says, I want you to be faithful, will you be faithful? If God says, to serve, will you serve? If God says, give up that sin, will you give up that sin? You know, I've counseled many Christians who say, I know, can I say this? Many Christians know what is right to do. but they have no strength to do it. Why? Because they're depending on their own strength. But you know what? Joshua was able to move on because he had God's strategy for success. He obeyed God's word. You know what obedience is? What's the meaning of obedience, children? What's the meaning of obedience? Come on, Joseph. What's the meaning of obedience?
It means to obey your parents.
I know, but what does it mean to obey? I'm going to give you a definition. Huh? Sorry? Thank you. Don't ever forget the second part. Okay? We all listen. But sometimes we don't do. Alright, children, are you listening? Obedience is listening and doing it. But you know, there's one more point. This is what I teach my children. You listen and do it cheerfully. With all of your heart. That's obedience. Amen, children? Parents, you're going to have a hard time. But you know what obeying means? You listen to God's word and you do it cheerfully. Say, God, if this... Well, God is hard, but you know what, God, if it's your will, I'll do it. But you know what? You not only have to obey wholeheartedly. The Bible says that you observe to do according to all that is written therein. You have to obey completely. We thank God for the spread of food just now. Amen? There's some more back there afterwards. Okay? Now, how many of you tried all the food? Put up your hand. Or at least you think you tried all the food. No one. You did. How many of you tried char siu? Put up your hand. Chicken adobo. Palabo. What else? I don't know.
You don't have
minutes. Okay. Some of you didn't try all the food, right? When you go to a buffet in Singapore, let's say a seafood buffet with prawns. Okay, if you have prawns, you have beef, you have squid, and you have tang hoon, or you have green vegetables. How many of you would think, what would be the first priority for Singaporeans? Why? It's not because they like prawns. Amen? Right? Why do they go for prawns? Because it's the most expensive one. Right? To the point that we might eat the prawn. But then we're tofu, you cannot eat the basic thing like the vegetables, right? Can I say this? Some people are... Can I say this? You cannot treat your Christian life like that. When God gave a meal in the Bible, He gave it balance. In other words, the smallest thing in the Bible is to be obeyed just as the biggest thing. He that is faithful in that which is least shall be faithful in that which is much. Unless we are willing to obey completely the word of God, you realize that we might just lose God's blessings. And I know it's hard, but you know what? That's God's strategy for success. In other words, God made life, and the manual for life is the Bible, and we need to follow every minute detail. No, Joshua is able to move on because he has God's strategy for success. Do you realize you have it too today? If I ask you, what are Bible verses to help someone to overcome his smoking habit? What would you say? If someone have a sin that is enslaving that person, how would you use the Bible to... Do you realize God has strategies? There was one time I was speaking to someone. I shared it before, I shared it again. I just realized the power of God's word. There was one person who was sitting... I was talking to him about 11 p.m. at night. Visited him after visitation. I was talking to him. He was out of church for a long time. And he was just doing his own thing. He went into sin a while. And then after that, he decided to stay away from church. And one of the things that he mentioned to me was, you know, after 10 years of wandering away, he was sitting there, he had a family, he spoke to me and he said this. He said, you know, Johnny, in life, when you're thirsty, any brand of mineral water will do. What he means is, when you're in trouble in life, you don't look for brands anymore. You just grab whatever that can help you. That's what he means. You know, at that particular point of time, in John chapter 8, the verse came to me and I told him, Jesus is a living water. And when I said that to him, tears came down. You know why? God spoke right through his heart. You know what's the sad thing? He resisted it. He didn't want any part of that. You know what? Many Christians are like that. When God gave a word, we know it's true. Next, we just push it away. You know what? Like Joshua, you won't be able to move on unless you would obey God wholeheartedly. And the final point, point number five, that Joshua was able to move on because God promised that he will have good success. Notice the last part of verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you realize that that's a promise? I can tell you with pure confidence, do you know why this church has grown? It's not because of what we have done alone. I believe the key was two things, the Bible and Christians fasting and praying. All the programs that we can ever have will come to zero unless we have these two things. Because God said, if you were to stay in my word, in everything that you do, I promise you good success. You know, in my heart, when we first moved into this place, I still remember the times we had about 40, 50 people. You realize on Christmas, how many did we have? 104. Not us, God. God. We fasted and prayed in August. Can I say this, Christians, in 2012, Ambassador Baptist Church, better stay close to God's word and fasting and praying. There is nothing that is going to uproot the sins in your life. There's nothing that's going to change your condition unless you are willing to get down on your knees and fast and pray. Rajan, I don't believe it. Then continue in the way you are. You need to believe it because Christians, this is what God has given to us. You know, many times we have deep-seated problems unless we fast and pray on a regular basis. And God, and beg God on Friday last night, we prayed for souls to be saved. With tears in our eyes as an entire church. I believe they will be saved because we prayed. God hears tears, amen? Not crocodile tears. Tears that come from a broken heart. God, you need to help us. And sometimes, you know, God will say, I'll help you if you just start moving towards me. The Bible promises. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. We'll be finishing soon. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says here, I'll read, for all the promises, let's just turn there, let's read together. I want us to see this, alright? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, ready? 1, 2, begin. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. All the promises are of God in Him are yea and in Him amen. You know what that means? Every promise in the Bible is not a negative, it's a positive to improve our life. All the promises of God are in Him yea and in Him, so let it be. Amen. In other words, when you look at the Bible verse and God says, I will meet all your needs, you know what you say? Amen, Lord. You will meet all my needs. God has met every need in the Ambassador Baptist Church. For the last 8 years, we were around. Amen? You know, when we prayed for the van, I prayed this. God, I know the van is a good to have. We can still serve you without the van. But God, you know, it will be good to have. And God says, yes, it's good to have. And God gave us the van. And people have come to church through that van. Amen. The children, we're able to go and visit new people. Jinky, Sister Jinky, a Filipino lady. You know how she came to church? Because he saw our van. And I can still remember the first time when she saw us in the van, because we had the word Ambassador Baptist, she looked at her, and she looked at my wife who was there. You know why? She hugged my wife, the tears in her eyes. Because God used a van to reach someone. Amen. God can use a van. If God can use a van, God can use us. Amen. Are we better than vans? But you know what? Do we believe that? Oh God, Christians, we can move on because God promises us success. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, just one chapter back, the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize, Christians, you already have the victory. You already have the victory. As we close, we are on the threshold of a new year. What is the Lord asking you to do? What is God asking you to do? To change, to add, to take away. What is God asking you to serve, to change your direction and philosophy? God promised you His Word, His presence, His power, and His principles for success. What are you going through? Are you carrying? Let me ask you, are you going to carry 2011 into 2012? Brother Johnny, I am still not done with 29. You know what? God wants us to leave it behind. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. There is nothing you can do about the past. Tell me, what can you do about the past? You can learn from your past. But you know what? Don't fall into the devil's trap of bringing burdens into the... I have one philosophy that I take. I will never repeat something. If something hurts me, I will not repeat it. Because God says, Philippians 4, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. God says, so what has happened? Can you stop bad things from happening? Sometimes you can. But generally you can't. Can the Filipinos stop the typhoon from coming in? But you know what? From Brother June's testimony, some people can still be thankful that they're alive. Can you be thankful that you're alive today? And that when you go home right afterward, you have a nice bed to sleep on? Or at least a place to go back to? Or at least friends to care for you? Be thankful. But you know what? Will you trust Christ today? Christians, will you come to Christ? Not as a church. God has grown us. But this is not where we need to stop. This is not where we must stop. I'm actively praying if God ever still continues to grow us, and I believe He will, we may have to rent our place. We may want to open up all this. The children will sit there with 104. God will add. But are we willing to believe Him? Christians, will you leave the past behind? The only way to forget the past is to replace it with something else. And in a Christian life, can I admonish you today? Leave it behind and press on. That may mean you to change your habits. That may mean you to perhaps you may need to break off some things in your life. But you know what? Unless you are willing to move forward, the way to forget the past is to move forward. Let's bow for our prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You are going to do. Thank You for the silence of Your people in terms of listening. And I pray, God. God, I don't know what is in the heart of people, but You do. But God, I know from the depths of my heart, Thy Word has spoken. In the life of Joshua, Lord, He experienced mourning as the nation of Israel mourned. But perhaps he was one of the closest, Lord, because he knew Moses personally, although not much was said about Joshua. God, that You have to come personally to encourage and challenge Joshua to be strong. Father, can I ask that You come to us personally to encourage us today? Oh God, sometimes it's so hard for us to let it go. God, I'm thinking of people right now that You know, God, they have been carrying their burdens for years. And some have been carrying sins for years. Some have been carrying hurts for years. And God, some have been carrying the burden of loved ones' salvation for years. God, we need You to come personally to each one of us and help us to be strong. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask this as a Christian. Are there things in your life? You say, Brother Johnny, I know God is speaking to me. Please, I'm asking you to pray for me. That God will give me the strength to let it go. To not ever to rehearse it again. To leave it at the foot of the cross. And then move on in the strength of the Lord. Like Joshua did. Believing His promises. Trusting His presence. Following His principles for success. And then, accepting the victory that God has already given to her. He said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. That God for 2012, it will be a different me. Not for your sake, but for those around you and for your spiritual growth. He said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. If that is your testimony as a Christian, just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone? Amen, I see those hands. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see many hands. Amen, just put it up and put it down. Amen, I see hands. Youth, fathers, mothers, young people, children are putting up their hands. Amen, put it up and put it down. Amen, I see anyone else. Amen, children too. I'm going to ask you to do something afterwards. As we're all eyes closed, heads bowed. For those who have put up your hand, can I just challenge you to stand up from where you are and pray? No one looking around, just stand up and pray and seal that decision in your heart before we close this year. Be brave. It's between you and God. Just stand up and pray. And all of us will just have a few moments before I close. Just stand up from where you are. Don't worry about the other people. Just stand up and pray whatever God has spoken to you about. It could be your family salvation. I'm praying for my in-laws to be safe in 2012, personally. But just to stand, I see many people standing. Don't look around. Give your burdens to God. Jesus is here. The Lord Jesus is here. It's between you and God. It's between no one else. I don't even know what's happening in your heart, but Jesus does. Oh, just give that burden to God. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer. These people stand and commit themselves to the Lord in whatever area they want God to touch. Can I see children from everywhere, youth and fathers and mothers to surrender? Is there anyone else? Just quiet time that God, you see my heart. Then afterward we'll pray. You can stand from wherever you are. You want to stand, you want to kneel. Just have a few moments of quiet prayer between you and God. And then I'll pray. And after you prayed, you're ready, you just sit down. Father, we come before you. We thank you for everyone that stood up. It's a testimony of their willingness, Father, to follow you. God, personally, I don't know what is happening in their hearts, but you do. Father, we believe with all of our hearts that when the Lord Jesus Christ was present in every synagogue in the first century, every time he appeared in a synagogue, Father, people's lives will be touched and changed. Lord, we don't believe in those signs and wonders, but we do believe in a God that still does the signs and wonders. And Father, we pray today for everyone who is standing up. I don't know what they're going through, Lord, but as your under shepherd, Lord, God in heaven, I'm praying. You give them the power they need, the grace they need, the word of encouragement they need. Lord, to commit every area of their thinking, their heart, into your hands. Lord, you admonish us to come unto you. And Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ, including the children, are saying, Lord, I'm coming now. Father, you promised that you will give them rest. Lord, I don't know what decisions they have in their lives. But God, you know. And Father, you are going to do a work in their lives. God, I'm not going to give them false hopes. Because I know that it's not my words that's going to change them, but the power of your word. The power of and influence of your Holy Spirit. As much as they will submit themselves to you, Lord, we know that it is you who will make that change. Oh God, help us. Lord, I pray for every brother and sister who in their hearts are saying, God, help me. Father, I pray for much strength. as only you can give. Father, I pray for every child who has stood up just now. God, their lives will be different. They will be a blessing to their family members. I pray for every teenager who has stood up just now. And God, they would learn what it means to obey their parents with all their hearts. And God, they will find some way they will grow and serve you. And God, they will be influenced to their friends and not be influenced by their friends. They will be a light to the people they see. God, I pray for every mother who has stood up. Lord, perhaps there are some things in their hearts that only you can see. Father, I pray that you will apply the word to their lives. Lord, I pray for every father who in their hearts are saying, God, I want to move on. There are certain things I just cannot. I just need to leave it behind. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to touch them in a special way. Lord, please, unless you build this house, God, we will labor in vain. Unless we trust your Holy Spirit, Lord, there is nothing we can do in our own strength. So, Lord, I commit every brother and sister who in their hearts are saying, I want to follow Christ. And I want to do what He says. I don't want to stay in the past anymore. I'm not going to rehearse anymore. I'm just going to move forward for the Lord, taking one step at a time, trusting Christ every step of the way. And Father, we are confident because you say in your word, as I was with Moses, so you will be with us. Oh God, may this be a promise for us for 2012. Just as you were with Moses that did all those mighty miracles, Lord, you will be humble us. You will be with us. Although we don't deserve your presence, but yet you come to us because you know we need you. And God, we need you. We need you even as a church. Father, I'm praying for growth from every sector. I'm asking you, Lord, to do a mighty work. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for the decisions that have been made. Because only you can make them. Lord, I'm praying that it is not my eloquence, nor is it emotionalism. But God, thy Holy Spirit is going to take control of these hearts. And Father, their lives will be changed forever. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless us through the evening. Once again, Lord, we look forward to more testimonies and blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.